Blog Talk Radio.
Let me hear the worshipers! Where's all of my praises? I want everybody around the world to put your hands together because all the praise belongs to God. Here we go.
Yeah.
Talking about a bishop that knows how to praise him. To God be the glory. We want to give honor to Bishop Hezekiah Walker. To God be the glory. Every praise is to our God. Amen. We thank God for God's anointed. Amen. Anointed man of God. Amen. Who's opened up opportunities here in the Virginia area. Amen. He's a gospel artist, component, anointed. Preaching, teaching, loving, praising, Bishop of the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory. We thank God for that awesome song. Every praise is to our God. I'm your host tonight, Bishop Thurman A. Butler. Glory be to God, bringing you back before the Lord our God into another marvelous chunk of his word. Amen. Another marvelous dip into the word of the Most High God. Giving honor to each and every one in their respective places. Thanking God for MCI Blog Talk Radio. Amen, all you champions. I admonish you to stay tuned in throughout the week. Worship on Sunday mornings. To God be the glory, where you may feast on the word of God. You know, the Bible declares that in the last days there shall be a famine in the land. Praise God. He said, not a famine for food or wine. Not a famine, good God Almighty, for water, for money, but for the word of God. And it's so hard to get a word right now. Good God Almighty, you should embrace the precious ministries that's coming out of MCI Blog Talk Radio. Amen. God bless you. We thank you for being here tonight. Let's just get into the word of God today. I'm not going to be prolonging what thus says the Lord. Turn with me, if you will, into the New Chapter, New Testament historical chapter of the New Testament. I'm just testing some of you champions. Come on, we turn into the historical book of the New Testament. Chapter 10. Things you need to hear as a champion. Certain things you need to relate with as a champion. Good God Almighty. I try to, amen, put it out there. Glory be to God. And I don't want to mess you up. But returning to the historical book of the New Testament. This is the history of the church. How many there already? Chapter 10. How many of y'all know where I'm going, what I'm talking about, where I'm even going with the historical book of the New Testament, chapter 10? See, sometimes you have to be recalled into remembrance. Amen? The Old Testament has a historical book, and the New Testament historical book is the book of Acts, the history of the church. Amen? Just put something out there just to chew a little time. Amen. And I'm going into 10 at verse 1. Amen. Come on, if you're ever going to do something for the Lord, you need to have it inside of you. Amen? Come on. You may not never use it, but you got to get it in there. And you may not never need to use it in your call or in your journey. But study to show thyself approved unto God. A workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Come on, somebody. If you're called, you have to have an act to teach. You have to be able to stop the mouth of the gainsayer. You have to convince those who would ask of a hope for your faith, your deliverance, your calling, your waiting on the Lord thy God. You've got to give an answer to them that would ask you to give account to what you say you believe. Champions, that's why we stay in the word of God. God is his word. I trust that you're there. Starting at verse 1, you're going to find these words, that there was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian band, a devout man, one that feared God with all of his house. Can we lay the foundation as we go? There's no title tonight. We're just digging into the word of God. He was a devout man. Now, I want you to understand that when the word of God used the word man, they're not talking gender. Certain times they are talking gender. Amen? What do you mean, Bishop? Well, if a man hired the office of a bishop, he desires a good work. See, they're talking about gender, the husband of one wife. See all the gender-related words used? He's talking gender there. But when he says, for a man shall weep what he sow, he's not talking gender. He's talking man or woman. Okay? So I just want to put that out to you tonight, champions, that you have to understand when he say a man, when you can relate that to human or gender. So right here, he's not talking. He's talking to a male, Cornelius. But this applies to everyone. So you can place yourself right there in Scripture. Amen? A devout. Devout means to be one, glory be to God. One focused. One committed. Devout means to be, glory be to God, to stand firm without wavering. He was a man that didn't waver. He feared God with his whole house. He wasn't afraid of his God, but he reverenced the glory of God. He reverenced the aura of God. The majestic realm of God. He respected God and all of his house. That means in his heart, in his mind, in his body, and in his soul. And he gave alms to the people and prayed to God. See, sometimes when people are in a position to do something for people, sometimes it's very easy to leave God out of it and try to place ourselves on some high pedestal. Oh, well, I'll do this for people. I did that for people. I've done this. I've done this. I help people here. I help people like this. That's because they want some glory. The Bible declares that he that speaketh of himself is seeking his own glory. But he that seeks the glory of him that sent him, the same is true. And there is no unrighteousness. in him, so says the word of God. So this devout man that feared God gave alms. That meant he gave his life for people. He put himself beyond after making sure he gave people what they needed. Sometimes it's hard to do. But the answer is what they say directly after it, that he gave alms and he prayed to God always, meaning that God, I gave alms, but I did it in your name. Yeah, I've done good, but only because the glory and the Holy Spirit led me to do good. And so I'm praying to you because I did it for you. I'm not expecting nothing from man, but I'm making sure I stay in connection with you. Somebody that's connected to God don't talk about what they done for a person. Somebody that's connected to God don't talk about what somebody did unto them. Someone that's connected to God always pray to God and give God the glory. Well, because he had that way of thinking, child of God, while he was in prayer, he saw a vision. Evidently, about the ninth hour of the day, angel of God coming into him. Can I tell you something? He seen that thing come on him. Good God Almighty. He seen it come in him. And I just want to encourage somebody today. What do you see in you? What do you see coming upon you? Can you tell when God is moving through you? How about CA? Do you know when God is coming upon you? Can you see what's inside of you? Some people are so spiritually blind, they don't even look at the inside of itself. Hallelujah. Too busy trying to see inside somebody else. Too busy trying to see somebody else's business. Too busy trying to see something other than in themselves. If you put it in the natural, what do you see when you look in the mirror? Habasa. Yeah. What do you see when you look in the mirror? Do you see a demon coming inside of you? Or do you see God coming inside of you? I'm a music man, so in the natural, Teddy Pendergrass put it like this. He said, you can't hide from yourself. Because everywhere you go, how about seeing? There you are. No matter where you turn, you can't hide from yourself. Because everywhere you go, there you are. So some people will not look into the perfect law of liberty. That's the mirror of God. Not only that, they won't even look in a natural mirror. And when they do, they try to tell themselves that they're seeing something in them other than what they know is in them. Oh, somebody ought to talk to me, yeah. But I want to tell you two people you can never hide from. Good God Almighty. And the third one, only half you can hide from. Yes, my God. God is the number one. You can't hide from God. The second person is yourself. You can fool yourself for years all you want, child of God. You cannot hide from yourself. You know what you do. You know how you live. You know how you act. You know how you think. You know what's in your heart, and you can't hide from yourself. You know what's inside of you. The third one, I said you might get by with half of them, but not all of them. Uh-huh. That's a child of God. Uh-huh. You can't hide from all the children of God. Uh-huh. You may have a few of the children of God fooled. You may have some of the people of God fooled. But you will never fool the very elect. That's walking in the power, walking in the anointing, walking in the spirit, walking in the right heart, walking in the love of God. You can never hide. And everywhere you go, there you are. So you have to be like Cornelius. He's seen the Spirit of God come inside of him. He knows when he's in the wrong spirit. He knows when he's living wrong. He knows when he's talking wrong. He knows when he's talking wrong. Come on, somebody. Do you know what's operating on the inside? The word of God declares in verse 3, glory be to God. He said, he seen it coming into him. And when God knocks at your door, you have to listen. He said he seen that thing come in. And the first thing that he did, he humbled himself enough to hear God. The Bible declares the day that you hear my voice, harden not your heart. Don't ignore what the Spirit of God is saying. Ignore what God is leading you. Don't disillusion, make up stories in your own imagination. Close your ears and come up with what you believe you want God to say and say that that's what he said. You have to yield your heart. He said when he came inside of him, the first thing that he did, he heard. Are you listening for what God is saying to you first? What God is doing to you first. When he came in, he heard God saying to him, Cornelius. He didn't say unto him, Evangelist. He didn't say unto him, Bishop. He didn't say unto him, Pastor. He didn't say unto him, Apostle. He didn't say unto him, Teacher. He called him by his name. Habasie. You can't hide behind a title. Good God Almighty, you can get all the titles you want and pin them to your chest, but you can't hide from who you are. He didn't come and call this man prayer warrior, and the man stayed on his knees. How about C.A.? He came and called him by his name. I don't understand why church folk don't never want you to know them personally. Only thing they want you to know is their title. Oh, yeah, well, I'm chief register, apostle, presiding, prelay. Come on. Oh, I am supplicant, evangelist of the third degree of the division of Church of God, of God, of God. Stop it! Who are you? Hiding behind that title. How about CA? That's why the church is trying so hard to get a title so they can feel like they somebody. So they can try to find a place to hide from themselves and from the people of God. How I see it. But when it's right with God, he knows my name. Uh-huh. Come on, somebody. He knows your name. Ha! Come on, somebody. And oh, how he'll walk with you. I'm not a singer, but y'all get the point. Hallelujah. Yeah. Don't you get it? He knows who you are. Hallelujah. He called him by his name. And he said, and when he looked on him, he humbled himself even more. Don't you know the more you recognize God know you, he care for you, he love you, he want to help you, your heart will melt. Won't be walking around here all deceptive and hard-hearted and mad and mean and nasty and ugly. Everything leaves you. Hallelujah. When God comes in, if you let him in. The word of God that said, when he looked at him, he was so reverenced of God, respected God so much, he fell before the Lord. He said, what is it, Lord? And God said unto him, your prayers and thine arms. Stay with me, champion. Did you remember a couple of verses up? He said he gave alms and prayed. But when God came back to him, he said, your prayer and your arms, he shifted around. He switched it around. He didn't say your arms and you always pray to me. He put prayer first, then the arms. Arms is good deeds. Because God is saying, because you did it right. Come on, somebody. Because you did it for the right reason. Because you did it with the right motive. Your prayers is so much more important than what you've given. You may have given your life. You may have given your money. You may have given your time. You may have given your love. You may have given your effort. You may have given your strength and your energy. But God said, that's second to you giving me your heart. Hallelujah. And because you've given me your heart, it means so much more than you could ever do or ever give. Glory to God, if the people of God could just learn to give God their heart. If you could just learn to give your life, your heart to God, you'll see how much he honors that more than anything you can do, more than you wearing a new suit, more than you carrying a big Bible, more than you going to church, more than you carrying a name and a title. If you just give him your heart, he said that means so much more than anything else you could ever do. He said your prayer and your arms. We're raising people in the church that don't really want to even pray. But if they do pray, that's the most you can get out of them. They will look you in the face, child of God, and try to make it even sound spiritual. Oh, yeah, we're going to be praying for you. I'll pray for you, brother. I'll pray for you, sister. Oh, yeah, the church is going to be praying for you. No, give. Stop all of this praying for each other and start helping each other. Good does it make praying when you won't help? You praying, but you won't give. You praying, but you won't pick somebody up that's stuck out in the street and need a ride to church. But you're praying. Nah. God said, listen, man of God, I'm ready to bless you. I'm ready to bless your socks off. Hallelujah. I'm ready to fix everything for you. Know why? Because you don't only pray, you do. Some people just want to do. When they do, they don't want to add God into it because they want to be seen doing. They want the reward for doing. God said, you very, very well, you have your reward. If you want your reward from man, you got it. You want to look good. You want a good name. You want people to think you the most righteous person since Moses. God said, you got your reward. Keep on trying to cover yourself up so much that nobody hear nothing about you. He said, because that's the reward you got. The Bible declares that some men sin go beforehand, and some after the judgment. Keep on stacking all that up till you meet him. Till it's time to give an account. Keep on hiding, putting, sweeping everything under the rug until it's time to meet him. Good God Almighty, child of God, that's the worst thing you can do is hide, try to hide your life. Who's going to help you when you hide so good? Who's going to help you when you smile so big? Who's going to help you, Habasiya, when you dance, shout, and scream in the church so loud? Who's going to help you when you don't look like you need help and you have practiced hiding? Where will you get your help? You're better off letting the world know your weakness so somebody can pray and give you alms. Oh, that's some extra for somebody. I just put that out there. Somebody ought to grab that in the spirit. You ought to grab it in the spirit. Keep on practicing hiding. Come on, CA. See where you wind up with your good reputation. With your good influence, come before God. Let him call you by your name. And let him bless you for your heart. God told him, instructed him for the next step in the blessing. He said, send men to Joppa. Call for one Simon, whose surname is Peter. He lodges with Simon the Tanner, whose house is by the seaside, who shall tell thee what thou art to do. Paul, but most of us, can't nobody tell you what to do. See, most of us, when we think God is sending us somewhere or give us a little message, now can't nobody tell you no more what to do. Humble yourself, says the word of God, under the mighty hand of God, and he shall exalt you in due time. When you get that spirit, then nobody can tell you anything. How about CA? Oh, bless them, Lord. Bless them. Bless them, anybody in that spirit. Bless them, Lord, right now, under the sound of my voice, to come up out of that spirit. Can't nobody tell you nothing. He didn't tell him the total plan of God. His son told him to send somebody else. And from there, he will be told what to do. Some folk will spiritually look you in the face and tell you I'm 21 times 3 plus. You know all those words we use. Like you can't tell them anything. Some people say, you ain't the only one hear from God. I hear from God too. But when they tell you what God is saying, it doesn't even match up with the word of God. It can't be God. Let me tell you something. People ain't in the word of God and always got a word from God. Something is wrong. Glory to God. Something's wrong. Because if you're in the face of God, he's not going to say anything contrary to his word. He said, I'll tell you what you should do. And when, verse 8, he had declared all these things unto him, he sent them to Joppa. On the morrow, as they went on their journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. See? Now watch this, people of God. If you're praying to God, you're getting instructed by God, and God is trying to take you somewhere in him. He's not going to send you to somebody who don't pray. And you're praying. Oh, y'all don't hear me yet. I said if you're praying and you're in the face of God, he's going to send you to somebody else that's in the face of God so that they can bear witness. So that somebody else will be hearing what you're hearing. Because it's the same spirit speaking. How come you always run into ungodly people? How about CA? Come on, child of God. If you run into ungodly people, if you run into people who don't pray, if you run into saints of God whose vagabond children of God who never stay in one church longer than 2 months, and you get no answers from them, that's because they bear witness with your vagabond spirit. Hey, glory to God. That's why y'all relate. It's a kindred spirit. You got to break that bond. Break that spirit of getting your instructions from people who talk about they've been all up in the eighth heaven. They've been up to the 12th realm of heaven, and they saw all of this, and they saw, stop it. But they come back down with no message. They come back down with no anointing. They come back down, come on, somebody, unchanged. But God then took you up to the fifth heaven. They don't know no Bible. And you're listening to things like that, child of God. I loose you today in Jesus' mighty name. God ain't taking you nowhere that's contrary. And you can hear a vision. And you'll know if it's of God. You'll also know if it's not of God. Amen? Amen. Let's move on, child of God. I'm reading down in the ninth verse. It says, on the morrow, as they went on the journey and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry. And would have eaten. Glory to God. And he would have eaten. He became very hungry. It was a spiritual attack. Because a man that prays like that, we get to a place where fasting is not hard. And the body does not put a constant fight were you before God. But here he is praying, and the enemy try to send a spirit of hunger, try to attack his flesh, because it was all meant to be a distraction. It was not so much that it's something wrong with eating, but that strange hunger came to distract him from hearing from God. But how many people know that God will take what the devil means for bad and turn it around for your good? Somebody say, turn it around, Lord. Come on, tell him again. Say, turn that thing around, Lord. It may look bad. It may feel bad. It may seem bad, but you need to go before God and say, turn it around. It was meant to distract him. And the word of God declared that he would have eaten. That thing that came on him was so strong, it would have succeeded. He said he was very hungry, and he would have eaten. But, somebody say, thank God for but. I preached this one sermon one time, I remember. Thank God. It was God showing his butt again. This is one of the times he was showing his butt. Because the devil had stepped in and was ready to overtake him. But God. Somebody say, but God. That's another one of God's butt showings. And you know what happened? He said he would have eaten. He would have fell for the trick. His flesh would have missed it. But good God Almighty. Hallelujah. God put him in a sleep. See? While he was cooking and made it ready, God put him into a trance. And God said, because the devil is trying to use food, because the devil is trying to use attacks on your flesh, whatever area he's trying to attack, I'm going to give you revelation in that same area. Oh, come on, somebody. The Bible says, Psalms 27, glory be to God. He says, though a host shall encamp round about us, our hearts shall not fear. Though war shall rise and be rise against us, in this shall I be comforted. You know why I'm saying that? Because we shall not fear when attacks come. No matter what area it's in, because God is going to move in the same area that the devil trying to attack in. You ain't going through what you're going through for nothing, child of God. You're going through it for a reason, and it's not for ourselves. It's for you to do alms to somebody else. Oh, help me, Holy Ghost, today. If you truly love God and love the call and love his people, you'll go through anything because you're going to learn something from it that you can help somebody else. Hallelujah. The reason why most of us church-going saints of God can't help nobody because we're afraid to go through anything. You're so afraid somebody's going to talk about you. You're so afraid of what somebody's going to think about you. You're so afraid of how somebody feel about you that you making sure you don't go through nothing. You tying yourself to the sink in the bathroom just so you don't go through nothing. Because if you did, you wouldn't help anybody. You think it's about you. Hallelujah. You think it's about you. And we're not even saved for ourselves. He says we're saved to be a disciple. Go ye into all the world. Make disciples. We don't get saved by God for our own happiness, for our own joy, for us to pray in the anointing. How dare us take God's salvation and want to bury it and lock it away somewhere. Scared to live. Scared to speak to the mailman. Scared to speak to anybody on your job. You so isolated. Who are you going to save? With your Holy Ghost filled, sanctified self that won't come out the house. I'm not saying run in the liar's den. But you got to be willing to go where God tell you to go. You got to be willing to walk through this earth and believe that God is. You got to be willing to have some battles in life, some struggles in life, some fights in life, so God can show somebody you came out on the winning side anyway. Because it's not what you go through. It's how you come out, champion. You can come out with people saying, look at God. That wasn't nothing but God brought her out. That's nothing but God kept him while he was in there. Somebody got to do something to show the glory and the power of God. So let's see. How is it being shown here? When he would have fallen asleep, is that same attack and gave him revelation. That same test and gave him a testimony. Hallelujah, somebody. The word of God said he fell into a trance and he saw heaven open. Child of God, he saw heaven open. God didn't take him and bring him up to heaven. I'm going to leave that one alone. I'm going to leave that one alone because people had them visions. They tried to use it on Paul. Well, Paul went to the third heaven. Okay. Yeah, Paul came back and wrote 14 books of the New Testament. And two. How about CA? What did God take you up to the third heavens for? Just to show you? So you can still come down here and judge people? You still can come down here and be self-righteous? No. God opened heaven. He didn't take him up in heaven. Praise God, that's to keep us champions sharp and sound-minded. You don't got to make up no ridiculous spiritual stories to make you seem spiritual. Why would God take you up to the third heavens? Are you ready to write 14 books in the New Testament? You're a little late. Stop it. Let us do what the Lord is leading us today to do. Amen, child of God. It ain't about us comparing ourselves with ourselves, trying to look spiritual, sound spiritual, and seem spiritual. This ain't no spirituality race. This ain't no consecration contest. Be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Gotta get your mind right. You gotta keep it right. So we can follow the Holy Spirit, child of God. He used that same attack and gave it revelation. And in verse 11, the word of God declares that when he went into a trance, he saw certain vessels descending unto him, as it had been a great sheet knit in the four corners and let down to the earth, wherein was all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts and creeping things and fowl of the air. And there came a voice unto him saying, rise, Peter, kill and eat. Well, so it was God moving. It was so unorthodox. It wasn't weird. It wasn't fictitious. It wasn't a figment of his imagination. And it proved in the end to be God. Now you can say God said whatever you believe he said. That's your faith. But if in the end God don't get the glory, hallelujah. If in the end you can't tell that it was God, because that's the proof. He had all kind of unclean beasts. Do y'all know what he's talking about? Go look in the book of Leviticus. When God gave the children of Israel dietary laws, he commanded certain things not to be eaten. He commanded certain animals that could be eaten. He showed him something totally contrary to what was. Hallelujah. And gave him revelation to what is. Somebody got to hear that today. You better stop looking at what was and start seeing what is. You're still looking at somebody at what was. Hallelujah. Well, you need to see what is. You still trying to operate God from what was. You need to step into what is. Hallelujah, child of God. Peter seen that. He said, God. Wait a minute. What? Now he's thinking what is God is the devil. The devil, he think is God. That's why we got to stay close, child of God. We got to stay in faith. The Bible says in the last days that men shall go on, Book of Timothy, deceiving and being deceived. He said, but watch thou in all things. Endure affliction. Do the work of an evangelist. Make full proof of your ministry. People of God, it's time to be close. Paul said, Peter said, no way, God. I know this ain't God. How many times we say, no, that ain't God? Because we think it ain't God. We so used to seeing God from what was, we can't recognize what is. Well, I've come to tell you today what was unworthy has now become worthy. Uh-huh. What was bound by alcohol is now freed by the blood. Y'all don't hear me. What was bound by sexual immortality is now freed by the power of the living God. Stop looking at what was or what somebody was and start seeing who somebody is. How about seeing? Because that's how our God moves. He showed Peter every beast that you wasn't supposed to eat. And then he told him, get up, slay it, kill it, and eat it. Peter said, no, not so, Lord. He knew it was God, but he didn't understand the message. And if you don't stay there long enough, you won't get it. You can't get in God's face 10 minutes and think you're going to get it. Hallelujah. You ain't going to get in God's face for 10 months and think you got it. Just because you went to school for a half a year, a year and a half, you think you got something? How about Shia? You ain't got nothing yet. You got to stay, how about Shia, in the face of God. That's how you get it. Think because you go in God's presence every Sunday and don't miss church, that don't give it to you. Hallelujah. He knew it was God, but he didn't get the message. He said, not so, Lord. For I have never, he said, I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean. He didn't understand the message. But the voice spoke unto him again. The second time. Come on, somebody. Praise God, praise God, praise God. The enemy don't like it. But God, hallelujah, will fix it every time. I pray, God, you wasn't distracted, champion. I don't know how the airways was disconnected. But I know that the Lord thy God is speaking to somebody's soul tonight. And he told Peter the second time, what God has cleansed, that calleth not thou common. Who God has forgiven, who God has set free, hallelujah, who God, Habasiah, has chosen, who God have anointed, who God has dealt with. You better keep your hands off of it, child of God, because power belongs to God, and God uses whom he chooses. Not who you choose. Man seeth not as God seeth. For man looketh on the outward appearance, but God look at the heart. And child of God, champion, if you never hear Bishop preach another word unto you, I want to leave you tonight with letting you know, don't you hold nobody hostage to yesterday. Don't you hold nobody hostage to gossip. Don't you hold nobody hostage to what your mind think. Don't you hold nobody hostage to what you heard. Come in the Lord. For what the Lord cleansed, no man can call common. It's time I'm speaking to all these religious leaders, and I don't care, glory be to God. Call me, email me, come talk to me, because I'm in the Word, and it's undisputed. How about Cynthia? Calling people according to their testimony, binding people according to their financial status. Y'all ain't talking to me. Having respect of persons because of what they can do for the church. It's time out for all of that mess, and stop calling common what God is trying to use. Y'all trying to hold them back. You don't want to fellowship with them. You don't want your church to be associated with them. You don't want your people to speak to them. You're going to be held accountable, child of God. You go ahead and keep speaking to the people you feel like can help you. And the people you think that can't help you, you don't even want to shake their hand, minister. You don't want to shake their hand, apostle. You don't want to shake their hand, bishop. Keep on treating people like that because you must see God. The only reason why Peter said not so, he didn't understand the message. You see? He says, I've never, meaning I'm obedient to you, God. He says, I never eat anything common. He said, this was done three times. And the vessel was received up again unto heaven. And while Peter doubted in himself, the vision which he had just seen, what it meant, the man which was sent from Cornelius made an entrance into the city, inquired of Simon's house, and they stood before the gate. And they called and asked Simon, whose surname is Peter, what lies there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, behold, there three men seek thee. Arise, get thee down, go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them. Child of God, let us not doubt the vision that God gives you. Don't you doubt the place that God sends you. Don't you doubt the work he needs you to do. Just come on down off our high horse and get the work done. Amen. God bless you tonight. I'm Bishop Thurman A. Butler, Undisputed Truth Ministries, making you an undisputed champion in the Word of God. Because if it's in the Word, it's undisputed. Once again, I tell you, if you want to sow, and your heart want to make a seed, you'll find me. You'll send in 1921 Darby Town Road. You'll go back and listen to some old messages and get the cash app and all that. I'm not, how about CA, trying to use any man for naught. But give and it shall be given unto you good measures. Pressed down, shaken together and running over shall man give unto your bosom. But to God be the glory. I don't want to deny you the opportunity to sow. Glory be to God. For whom the Lord sends, he makes a way for. Amen. God bless you tonight. Love you in Jesus' name. See you next week.